Hey, everyone. Welcome back to High Tea Hoops. This is Brian Boucher. High Tea Hoops. Ah, I forgot to pause. I'm so bad at the intros. This is the Duke of Hoops, and I am joined by Skylar Smith at the Duchess of Hoops, or at Duchess of Hoops. Skylar, what's up? Good to have you on the show.
Thanks, Brian. It's also my show.
It's good to have you on our show.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's good to be here.
We have a fantastic show today. Fantastic. What an interview show. Later. So we're going to kick off the top, this first part of the podcast. We're going to go just kind of a news roundup. A lot has happened in the NBA and the WNBA and basketball. So we're going to go through the NBA schedule that was released. NBA draft is next week. We've got a lot of player and coach movement, or at least gossip around player movement. Mm-hmm. We're going to go into some NBA 2K updates, a little bit of WNBA, and the real finale of this episode, the meat of this one, is our interview with Ramon Fletcher, current player for the Newcastle Eagles. Incredible interview. What a great guy.
Great guy. Great interview. You're going to want to stick around for it.
You should definitely stick around for it. So many good parts. We'll get to it a little bit later. But to start off with, Skylar, we have a new NBA schedule out here. So the NBA and NBAPA, Players Association, finally reached that agreement on an amended CBA. And it kind of just set up the entire NBA season. Everything was on hold until they got that new CBA in place. And so that is what has allowed the NBA to start on December 22nd and have a reduced 72-game schedule. Mm-hmm. So we figured it out. We have it, and it's so fast. We just stopped. Now we have to do pods again. NBA pods already.
Yeah. Have you seen LeBron, tweeting and just being out there in general about how upset he is that they're coming back so soon because he is old and he literally just stopped playing and now he has to come back for another season? That is how I feel with our podcast.
What? Okay, so he is going to have the Larry O'Brien trophy, catches tears. Like, come on, LeBron, you just won the championship. I think you'll be okay. And I'm sure those players, they'll load manage for the first couple months. But that was a crazy, I don't know if you saw this, the difference between the teams that didn't make the bubble is they haven't played in 238 days. And then LeBron's 70 days in their offseason. It's insane. The Warriors are, I cannot believe how much the Warriors have lucked out this decade of having that huge,
kind of insane.
The huge salary cap bump so they could sign KD in free agency. The 1 year they're we're going to bomb. Is the bubble year, the pandemic year. They're all rested, ready to go for this reduced season where they have some flexibility and the number two pick.
Yeah.
It's going to be insane. All right, let's run through what, this is almost like a High Tea Hoops podcast schedule, Skylar. We have November 18th, which is next Wednesday. 1 week is the draft.
So soon.
We're going to have a special NBA draft podcast for everyone. Hold us to it. That'll be November 18th. Then free agency starts on November 20th, so 2 days after. We've hardly adjusted to the draft, and then we have free agency open. And emoji season already started, Skylar. Did you see that on Twitter? Players are tweeting out emojis. Season. It's
Some
already
eyeball
started.
Emojis.
Lots of eyeball emojis.
See it. Who? I missed it.
Michael Bridges. Oh. Yeah, just a fun little one. Little side act there. And free agents can sign on the 22nd. Training camp opens on the 1st. And then 22nd, opening night, we get Christmas basketball, Skylar.
Christmas basketball!
I cannot wait. We'll get some parents on the pod. Are you going to authorize that?
We'll see.
The Smith parents? I can't wait. So what do you think of this new 72-game schedule, Skylar? You excited? You in?
I'm excited. It does seem very, very soon. I'm surprised they got the December start. I think a lot of the players were pushing for a January start. They wanted a little bit more time. So I'm a little surprised they got it, but we'll see. It's very soon.
Yeah, they make a lot more money because they're starting on the 22nd of December. So
yeah,
I think they showed the players, hey, here's what you get paid if you start the 22nd versus January. And it's a huge difference. They get that 72-game schedule in.
There's truly nothing I love more, though, than basketball on Christmas Day. I so I'm very thankful for that.
Me too. It's too bad people can't go in person this year. Going to the Rockets game on Christmas Day with the Smith family, one of my best memories.
Yeah, so me fun. Too.
Remember that little kid that I completely demolished in Pop and Shot?
Remember when Russell Westbrook tackled the national anthem singer and it was like a 13-year-old girl?
I do remember that. Do you remember playing pickup basketball outside of is it the Toyota Center?
Yeah, the Toyota Center.
If you've never been to Houston, outside of the Toyota Center, they have this incredible outdoor basketball court with stadium seating. The rims are a little bit short, so you can dunk when you normally can't dunk. And Skylar, after the Christmas Day game, I was in jeans, and what we were like going around downtown Houston where everything was closed on Christmas Day, trying to find some shorts for me to wear so I could go play, but I just played in jeans anyway.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments. And I know that you just love watching me play basketball, so that's
always great. I'm just so used to it at this point. It's fine.
So the big wrinkle here is that on the 16th, they're thinking like in the November 16th range, the trade window opens. So we're going to get some trades early next week and shit is going to go down.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Okay, let's go into the draft. So we are not draft experts. I want to throw that out there right now. I don't know who these players are. We do not have super strong opinions on 1 through 20. I'm hoping the Luperlonics, the London Luperlonics, pick up a great 31st draft pick in the first round if we can secure that draft pick. But there's been a lot of talk, Skylar, about LaMelo Ball going number one. Mm-hmm. What do you think of LaMelo Ball? I need a Skylar LaMelo Ball reaction.
Honestly, I went on the Met the Criteria pod this week for
shout out Met the Criteria.
A little Pistons pod. Check it out. It drops, I think, the same day this pod drops. And I said that I don't know how, but I have a feeling LaMelo Ball is going to Detroit.
No. What draft pick do the Pistons have?
Number 7.
Oh, you think he's going to fall to 7? There's rumors he's going 1.
I know. But honestly, the Pistons were saying they're open to trading up. I don't know if they'll be number 7. I don't know. We'll see. LaMelo has like connections to Detroit. His like trainer or agent or something are all from Detroit and like literally are former Pistons. So that was the hot take that I threw out there on that pod, was that somehow, some way, he's coming to the Pistons.
This is the weirdest draft I have seen in a while, where you have Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman. You don't have a consensus number one. It's a pretty weak draft class.
Yep.
And the draft order of the teams is weird. Like, the Timberwolves don't really need a big man. So, like, they're not really going to take James Wiseman because they have Karl Anthony Towns. It's like the order doesn't work either. Like, the best players, like, don't fit the teams at the top of the draft. So, I think it's going to get crazy. I think we're going to see a lot of different flyers being taken and people taking risks that they normally wouldn't.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's like, okay, why not take a risk this year?
It's kind of like... There's less of a downside if you don't hit this year.
If you're so unsure on so many of the prospects, then go for a Giannis type player where, you know, you can get someone who has that freak natural ability and maybe you can train in a few years. But
I mean, I feel like people are just going to draft the best players they can draft this year. They're not going to be going for like positions, like the way you were trying to lay it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is such a weird just
best
draft.
Available.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's going to be crazy. But again, we'll do a pod after the draft. So some of our reactions, see what happens there. Some of the free agent signings that happened that week. So I'm excited to see what goes down next week. Yeah. But do you want to go into some coaching news, Skylar? There's a lot of movement on coaches around the league.
Yeah. We'll just run through them quickly. I feel like we've been, you know, keeping the audience up to date on coaching news.
Ty Lue. Doc Ty Rivers. Lue. Some big ones. The people we love.
Yeah. The Rockets, they hired Steven Silas as their coach.
Congrats,
Steven.
Love that for you, Steven.
Love that for you, Steven. The Pacers hired Raptors assistant Nate Bjorkgren, which is really fun to say. Not sure if I'm saying it correctly. And OKC promoted Mark Daigneault. Daigneault.
Daigneault
to head French? Coach. Not sure how to say it, but good to have some new names in here.
Seriously. And for Nate, the Raptors assistant, he's Nick Nurse 2.0.
Yeah.
He is one that's credited for the Raptors' success along with Nick Nurse. So I'm excited to see that. But you're right. I'm excited to see new faces.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of new coaches next year.
Yeah. The NBA is famous for just every team passes around the same 10 coaches just year after year after year. So I like when we get some fresh meat.
Exactly. And there's same with GMs. It's like, okay, Doc's going to pop back and forth. Steve Van Gundy. I love that for you, Stephen Van Gundy. Stan Van Gundy.
Stephen
Van Gundy. Stephen, Coach Stephen Silas Van Gundy. Just another Van Gundy. No, Stan Van Gundy going around to the different GM roles. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how they perform. I honestly don't really know who a lot of these people are, but I'm excited to find out.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go on to some player rumors, which this is my favorite.
We have a spicy one.
We have a pretty spicy one. So, let me go through this series of events here. That led to breaking news just an hour ago. If you're listening to this on Thursday morning, this is hot off the press. You may have seen it at the top of Twitter. But this starts off with James Harden, Russell Westbrook, expressed concerns about the Rockets' future, which makes a ton of sense because they lost their coach and their general manager, two of the most distinguished professionals in NBA history, and their owner, Tillman Fertitta, is the owner of an enormous restaurant chain where no one can go eat because of COVID and is going broke.
Yeah.
Outlook looks bad.
Woj left me out of this one, but I too have expressed concerns about the Rockets' immediate future.
We all have. Those Christmas Day games are at risk right now.
Yeah.
So that happened. And then we get a Shams report that comes in and says, James Harden remains committed to the Rockets and is locked in for next season.
Let's go, Harden. He's not leaving those Houston strip clubs yet.
No, I mean, he's those chicken wings. Where was he at that fried chicken shop right after they lost in the bubble in Houston?
I forget.
The famous fried chicken shop?
I don't know.
Shams blessed us with that shortly after giving us this. Westbrook wants out of Houston.
Yeah. I have an idea. Hear me out.
Okay, what is it?
What if they traded him to OKC for Chris Paul?
Just do a do-over?
Yeah.
All right, our bad.
Just keep the cycle going. Just keep trading him back and forth.
Sam Presti is too smart for that.
That's true.
I don't think he's going to pick him up. Where do you want to see Westbrook go? It's rumored that he's headed to maybe the Clippers to go back home to LA, maybe the Knicks to end his career, as these superstars tend to do when they go to the Knicks. Where do you want to see him?
The Clippers idea is really, really hilarious to me.
It's everyone he hates. Can you imagine the locker room drama? They hate each other.
Well, and like, as if this Clippers team needs another like harsh personality that won't lead. And like, as if this Clippers team needs another player to make them even more hateable, even when they're literally the most hated team right now.
It's Ty Lue needs another challenge. That's that's really what it is.
That is so funny to me to think about. I hope we get to see that happen.
I would love for him to go to the Knicks. I just want the Knicks to blow a bunch of cash on another big name that's past his prime.
I want better for Russell than that.
For the Knicks?
Yeah.
The Knicks would be fun. Ugh. He gets the star power. He can imagine the walk-in fits, Madison Square Garden. He gets to work in fashion in New York. That might be a dream scenario for him. We'll see. Yeah. But we'll keep everyone updated on this because the Westbrook Harden duo is one of our favorites.
Yeah.
And not to be left out of the rumors, Chris Paul also in the rumor mill. I love this trio. Just keep trading him around to the same different teams, just like you planned.
I loved that Chris Paul said, I am not fucking going to the Lakers. After we literally, this whole podcast, literally all we've learned from this podcast is that every star leaves their team to go to the Lakers.
Yes. If you've learned one thing from High T Hoops, it's that.
Yeah.
And good. But Chris Paul already tried to do that and was blocked. So
yeah,
not happening. Thanks, David Stern. But Chris Paul is rumored to be on the trade block as well. Skyler. Where do you want to see Chris Paul go? With the Bucks, partner with Giannis, they finally have the point god to try to lead them to a championship. He redeems his career in the playoffs. Or join an up-and-coming team, the Suns, with Devin Booker, with Ayton, with a young core, Kelly Oubre. Where would you rather see him go? Likely also to just not advance in the playoffs with the Suns, but maybe a fun fit.
Yeah, I think it would be a fun fit, but I actually do want to see him with the Bucks.
Me too.
It would be so fun to see him dishing to Giannis.
Yeah, I would just have that leadership role, have his redemption arc where he should have had a lot more success in the playoffs. Same with Giannis. And I think he can be that leader, you know, that person that's been there, that's been in the league a long time. And anything's better than Eric Bledsoe at this point. So,
well, and Giannis, like, I feel like he's a leader on that team, but I just think of Giannis as someone who, like, his emotions get the best of him a lot. Like, he just runs kind of hot, and sometimes that, like, bubbles over. And so someone like Chris Paul, who's, like, always fired up but is always pretty level-headed, I think could be really good for Giannis.
Yeah, I would love to see him on the Bucks. That would be so fun. But that's the player movement. We're going to see a lot next week.
Yeah.
So we'll give updates then. But let's move on to NBA 2K because they introduced some fun ones. A recent one they just did is that you can go through with high school or the G League and you can play college ball. So they're giving you a lot of different career paths. Really fun. But the big news, Skylar, is they launched a new mode called the W, which is a WNBA version of My Player. And you can play through an entire career in the W. So we can be Sue Bird, Breon Stewart, anyone we want. I think this is big for the WNBA.
Yeah, I do too.
It just, and 2K itself, you know, especially in the UK, where the NBA is growing in popularity. But 2K, I would say, is almost more popular than NBA itself. Like, more people play NBA 2K in the UK than actually watch NBA games on Sky Sports.
Do we have the numbers on that?
I think so. I've seen the Sky Sports numbers or the estimates, and I think there are more NBA 2K players in the UK.
Interesting.
So introducing – and think about how hard it is to watch WNBA games in the UK.
Yeah, for sure.
And now they can learn the players, they can – and they get the announcements, they can build a career. That's all, like when we were looking at the announcers covering the WNBA and the Wubble for the first time, a lot of them don't even know how to pronounce their names because they never heard them before. There's just not that much exposure. So I think anything to give more exposure to the W. I'm not going to do the George W. Bush. The W is good for the league, and it's cool to see that.
Yeah, I agree. I think just like the like basic kind of name recognition of teams and like the – look of the jerseys and like who's on each team and maybe even coaches. Like it's really going to help them build like just a really solid base knowledge, which is cool.
And it's going to help build the brand of all the WNBA players.
Yeah.
Cause I saw a clip, someone posted a clip of Candace Parker grabbing a rebound, going the full length of the court and dunking it from like the free throw line, which is just fun. That's what you want.
As only Candace Parker can.
As only Candace. Could you see her workout video where she's doing the medicine ball on the side of a sandhill?
Yeah. And then Jesus, I almost hit her car.
Yeah. The trainer ran after the medicine ball to grab it.
Yeah, it's God. Good.
Basketball players are insane. But speaking of the WNBA, if you didn't know, we had a tiny little election here in the United States
Small
of America.
Small election.
We have Republicans and Democrats here. Trump is a Republican. The Senate is controlled by the Republicans. And a huge campaign in the WNBA during the season was – actually, Skylar, can you set this up, the whole Kelly Loeffler ownership?
I thought you were killing it, Brian.
Okay. Kelly Loeffler's the owner of the Atlanta Dream, or one of the owners, right?
Yep, co-owner.
Co-owner of the Atlanta Dream. She was appointed to the Senate by the governor.
Yes.
So it didn't win an election.
The person – it was, I think it was Jeff Sessions before her. They went to serve in the Trump administration. And so then the governor of that state appoints a new senator.
And
so not elected, was never selected by the people.
And with the Black Lives Matter movement, with all the social justice movements this summer, she sided with All Lives Matter? Did she say All Lives Matter? What was her what was the first act that kind of had the WNBA turn on her?
I mean, she's been, first of all, she's been awful for a while. Like, she got inside information about the pandemic happening, and then
that was her,
like,
and yeah, then sold all of her stocks.
So she like got in trouble for insider trading because of someone, her husband is someone. So she like had inside info on the pandemic or something. I forget. She sucks. She didn't just like say All Lives Matter. She basically is like one of the people that like pushes that like Black Lives Matter is like a terrorist organization and they're trying to drive us apart and like all these just like wild things. And she basically said like, Black Lives Matter is a political movement and politics have no place in sports. And yeah, it's just wild. She's been out there like really campaigning against it.
Yeah. And so the WNBA players, even though she's a co-owner and because she's a co-owner of a WNBA team, yeah, all rallied against her in the wobble and all did vote Warnock, who is the Democratic candidate for the Senate, going against Kelly Loeffler.
Yep.
And we're now seeing Georgia has two runoffs, which
Georgia will,
I don't know what accent that was. They have the two Senate seats that the WNBA supported that will give Democrats the control of the Senate now if they can both win in the runoff in January. So the WNBA directly impacted the politics of our Senate. And that was one of the things we talked about a lot during the wobble and bubble, is what impact are these players actually having? How many more people know about Warnock now than before?
Oh my God, so many more.
It's, and that also, they brought like, set so him much up awareness.
Right. And that set him up to like go on and do other interviews, and like it just like spreads and spreads. Like it's a cascading effect.
Compounding effect. Yes.
Compounding effect. That's love what I was cascade though. For.
Yeah. But so cheers to the WNBA doing such great work. They continue to do that with raising money for Warnock in Georgia. Just amazing to see. Love when they're not just dribbling balls, right, Skylar?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if we're shouting people out, shout out LeBron.
Seriously, Chris
Florida
Paul.
Did not flip, but he
Little Caesars
really
Arena.
Tried.
Little
shout
Caesars
out Little
Arena.
Caesars Arena. Shout out every NBA arena that let people vote.
Record shout turnouts.
Shout out the Milwaukee Bucks for flipping Wisconsin.
Seriously.
Shout out the Pistons for flipping Michigan. It's a great week.
Great week. And it was I don't even know if we've reported on this, but congrats Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe for getting engaged. Probably one of the happiest moments for me for 2020.
Yeah.
Absolutely adorable. Just love it. I was wondering when that was going to happen. I'm glad that they gave
know,
us a little bit of hope and a little bit of beauty in 2020. I'm glad they saved it for this time. Okay. Let's move on to our interview with Ramon Fletch from the Newcastle Eagles. Again, two-time BBL champion. No, two-time BBL MVP. Lots of trophies.
Yep.
Skylar, what stood out to you in this interview? What can get the audience excited to stay on another 30 minutes?
At one point, Brian reveals that I like one of the players on the Newcastle Eagles because I was gonna let it be a mystery that they had to find out. Listen and find out. He reveals that I like him because he is a quote unquote thick king, and it stuns Ramon
it stuns
into
him.
Silence.
Speechless.
He's speechless.
So look forward to that. It's gonna be great. He was so authentic, gave his whole journey of going from the States at Green Bay to how he played in Europe, transitioning to the BBL, what he thinks that the British Basketball League can do to grow the sport of basketball in the UK. And it was just an awesome interview. So
yeah,
hope you all enjoy it, and we'll transition to it now. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to High Tea Hoops. This is Brian Beauchesne at the Duke of Hoops, and I'm joined by Skylar, Duchess of Hoops. What's up, Skylar?
Hi, Brian. Super excited for today's episode.
We have a very special guest, Ramon Fletcher, two-time BBL MVP, current Newcastle Eagles player. Ramon, what's up? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited about this. It's something that I normally don't do, or I'm not able to do with the, you know, with the outlets now, but I got a feeling this is going to be really, really good.
Yeah, we're excited to get to know you better. Obviously, Newcastle has got a hot start into the BBL season. Yeah.
Hot
start. It's been really fun watching everyone, especially a lot of the young players come on. But before we get into the current season, just want to get to know your background a little bit. So you played at Green Bay, and right after graduating, you transitioned to playing in Europe. So what was that decision like, moving from the States to play abroad right after college?
It's one of those things that you don't know what to expect. It's one of those feelings that I had going from high school into a university. You know, you hear all the horror stories, you hear all the good stories as well, mm-hmm. but it's also one of those things that I like to experience things for myself. You know, if I hear what other people say, if it was she says or he says or anybody says, it's hard for me to just believe it. Mm-hmm. So it was just like transferring from high school to college. I just didn't know what to expect, but what I was in for rude awakening, because it's a different culture. Because I started off, I didn't come to England straight away. I went to the Netherlands, which they speak Dutch, and mm-hmm. the food is different. I can't read the labels. I can't read the food labels or anything like that. So for at least 2 weeks, this is going to sound ridiculous for people that know me, for 2 weeks, I ate M&M's, Twix, and drunk Coke every single day.
Because that's, you couldn't all find anything else?
I just didn't know. I didn't trust it, because you know, the people that are from there, they tell you, you know, the food kind of expires in 2 or 3 days. And I don't stay on top of it like that. You know, in college, we eat pizza, frozen
prepackaged,
pizza.
Yeah.
We bake burgers. So, like, now I'm really on my own. But after I got used to it after a while, I kind of just got a sandwich, made some crisps. I mean, I figured it out, for sure.
Yeah, stay away from the coffee shops and the space cakes. Stay away from- Don't go there before a game. Just stay away.
Maybe after the game.
Maybe after the game recovery. Hey, the NBA. The NBA Players Association. I think they don't test for marijuana anymore. We're in Seattle, so you know.
Well, they did that in the bubble, so
that's true. Yeah,
I think it's gonna be one of those things where they're not gonna care. Just gonna turn the other cheek with it. So. Yeah. But yeah, I stay away from that, of course.
So you're playing in the Dutch league, which did you play with? I have a few friends I think you might have played with. Philip Bock, did you ever play against him? He was out of Santa Clara.
That sounds familiar, but I was 2011.
Yeah, he was. I think he's 12, 13. He's one of our friends here. Or Kirk Krekko in the BBL.
Kirk Krekko.
Yeah. So he went to Dartmouth with me. He was on the.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he played. I was on the club team, and you know, in the Ivy League,
there's a
big drop off from when you get your gear to people quitting the team. There was always that, like, stay for the gear. Okay, is my scholarship tied to athletics? Nope. All right, great. I'm going to just go to class. Yeah. But Kirk's, Kirk worked for 4 years, and he got a lot better. Stuck it out across multiple coaches. So I was glad to see him join the BBL after graduating.
And just super smart. Super smart player. Of course, going to Dartmouth, of course. But, yeah, I was really impressed with him.
Yeah, Kirk was great. But he made the jump to the BBL. You made the jump to the BBL. So what kind of excited you about joining the BBL back, what was that, 2013, 2014?
2014. So when I left the Netherlands after the 2 years, I felt like I needed a change. I needed to go somewhere else. And the agent that I had at that time, any other professional basketball players know that my agent chased money. He chased money versus chasing the right situation.
Yep.
The right club for me, the right country. He just chased money to the point where I lost out on many deals. I had a deal in Truffle Sopot in Poland. So, like, say I'm your agent. I tell you, hey, we got this deal. It's for this X amount of money. You know, I'm just waiting for them to sign it off. Perfect. Truffle Sopot, big time team in Poland, really good money. Then the next morning, he said, oh, we lost the deal. So I'm just like, well, where do we go from here?
Yep.
So it's just strung out all the way till the end of October, beginning of November. And I'm like, well, I think we need to cut ways. We need to cut ties. So I sent him a termination letter, but he kept me under contract for 90 days.
Dang.
So I couldn't sign with another team. I couldn't sign with another agent or I would get sued, which, you know, at that, my couple years out, I don't have the resources to get a lawyer to sue an agent. So I sat all the way until the end of January. Beginning of February, and by then clubs don't want to take someone, a 5'9" point guard, yeah. at that age with no NBA pedigree, they're not going to take a chance on someone like that when it's over thousands and thousands of people that, you know, players that want to come over. So I signed with a new agent, and I signed with him in March, and I say by June, he got me the Newcastle job. But I had to sit out, and so basically I sat out an entire year, and I found him on Facebook.
That's how I found my agent.
Crazy. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, so the history is now. Then I came here, I met Fab, which he's not here anymore, which was a player coach, which was a different transition as well, getting used to someone that actually playing and telling you what to do. But I think I made a pretty good decision.
Yeah, if we're newer BBL fans, what kind of situation were you walking into at Newcastle? Because they are obviously, they're the winningest club in BBL history.
They're the winningest club. We won over 20 plus trophies across the trophy, the cup, the league, and the playoff. So they already had a rich, you know, a rich tradition. And the same exact team came back my year versus me, the point guard, and a two guard. So we're going into this situation like, okay, there's going to be a lot of pressure on us because they're going to lean on us, especially being American. Yeah. And me being the helm, being at the top, being the point guard, I know I had a lot of responsibilities. So that was a responsibility. And I was coming off of not playing for an entire year.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, oh, man, can I even fit in, you know? So it was many, many days of practice where I'm like, oh, man, I just don't know if I got it, you know? Because I started working at House of Hoops.
Yeah.
I was working at House of Hoops for that year, you know? And I was just thinking like, all right, how can I work myself way up in the Foot Locker Corporation? I wasn't even thinking about basketball, you know?
Yeah.
And then I got this job, and then now I'm in Newcastle. I've been here for a long time. I should have a British passport by now, but
you had been with the Eagles for a while, then left to go play in Slovakia, then just recently rejoined the Eagles. What made you want to come back and rejoin the team?
Truthfully? So I spent three years in Newcastle, and we won every trophy, and I felt that I did everything that I can possibly do from an individual standpoint. So I'm like, okay, well, I need a challenge. I want to feel like, you know, I feel like I did when I first came out of college, of just that fire of learning, adjusting to a new country, and what I learned these past 3 years, can I implement it in a different country? So I get there, so I chose to go to Slovakia, and I was so adamant about, okay, I'm done with the BBL, time for me to move on. So I get to Slovakia, and it was totally different than how England is. My coach
You're
was
back
Serbian.
To eating M&Ms.
No,
and
I
can eat again.
No.
Got a nutritionist this time. Yeah.
We actually had a restaurant where we ate two meals a day, so I really didn't have to cook that much.
Clutch.
So I got lucky with that. But my coach was Serbian, and Serbian coaches are crazy.
We've heard this from a few people.
Oh my God.
Byron mentioned it too.
Yes, they're crazy. So we ran for the first month. So I got there August 1st, and I didn't come home until May 22nd. No Christmas break, no holiday break or anything like that. But I'm used to it being over here. Yeah. But for the first month of preseason, we didn't touch a basketball. All we did was run on the track at 9. We lifted at 10. We went to the gym at 10:30 to do agility, ate lunch, come back, and do more drills. And it's like, coming from England, I'm like, what am I doing
here? When do we play basketball?
Can I at least see a basketball? I want to see a basketball, you know? And coming from this kind of this, if I say that the status that I had here, going to Slovakia, which basically he told me in our first meeting, I don't care what you did in the BBL. I don't care what individual accolades you did there, because they don't respect the BBL in different countries, different leagues. So him, on top of him being crazy, on top of him not liking the BBL or not respecting the BBL, and on top of it just being Slovakia, Eastern European country, post-communist, I struggled, to be honest. And I missed that. I missed things like this, because they didn't do things like this over there.
Yeah.
It was you show up, play in a game, clap to the fans, and go home. And that's all you did.
Business.
It wasn't any interaction. Versus here, you talk to fans chant at you, yell at you, and you can actually understand what they're saying. So that was something that I missed.
Fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't at all. It wasn't fun for me. And that's one of the things that I always told myself: when basketball becomes a job, that's when I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I can't stand the quote. I don't like the t-shirt that said basketball is my job, because I just don't believe in that. And So, moral story, that's why I came back, because I needed to feel like I was somebody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's amazing that you basically sat out a year because of agent issues, which I don't know how 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds are supposed to navigate that situation with no resources.
19-year-olds.
There's so many stories of athletes getting burned, which is horrible. But, you know, you came in, got the two MVPs, had a ton of success with the Eagles. What, you know, these questions, like, what did it mean to you? But, like, was that validating? How did you see that? Did you see this just a stepping stone? Because waiting out a year and not knowing if you could sign another contract, a two-time MVP, is pretty amazing.
Yeah. To be honest, I just was happy to play again. Because throughout that year that I sat out, I started losing who I was. I had no identity. I was just a stockroom manager at Foot Locker at House of Hoops. And, you know, I go play every once in a while. We play Foot Locker versus Foot Locker. And I'm like, and I'm thinking like, do you guys know that I actually can play? You know, like and they're like, oh yeah, yeah. And how many times we've probably heard that people say, yeah, we play here. I'm like, no, I actually play professional. And that's just something that you hear. But now, like, they really kind of know, they see on Facebook and things like that. Like, oh, he wasn't just making that up, you know? So it was, and like to this day, I don't feel validated. I don't feel validated. I don't feel like I've done enough, and I feel like I just got to get that year back daily, every single day. And anybody that knows me, I never talk about individual accolades. You never hear me. Like, just yesterday was my first time posting a highlight film in a while. And that was because a young guy had did it, and I had so much respect that his story.
Yeah, D's Reels, right?
Just wanted to give him that. It wasn't, you know, I get highlights every single day, but I just wanted to post him because I felt like his story and how he came. It's kind of what you did with this. You know, through quarantine, oh, let me pick up the podcast. And it's the same thing that he did, you know? So I just felt like I felt some more. So I just did that. But yeah,
it's such a team guy. I mean, this is like the Mamba mentality, but there's such the plight of athletes too. No matter what you achieve, there's always more. You're just Sisyphus, just keep grinding and never being happy with the result. And, you know, we can go into philosophy, but it's like, all right, I'm just going to enjoy the journey. You know, same with startups, same with any kind of goal pursuing. Once you get there,
that's how I feel.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's my same motive to this day. I just don't feel like I've done enough. I don't feel like I've done enough, to be honest.
Let's talk about
this season a little bit. How has it been training during a pandemic, and how has it been playing in an arena without fans?
Yeah. I think the hardest thing to adjust to is on away. I'm fine with away. I don't want to hear away fans.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with that. But at home, we feed off of that. We feed off the crowd. We feed off of kids yelling and blowing horns and things like that. When you guys come over, you catch a game, that's something that you're going to adjust to. Kids are blowing horns the entire time, you know, and you feed off that, especially if they're cheering in your favor. And I think that's the biggest adjustment that we've made as a collective, as a group, because you just treat it like a scrimmage, or you treat it like practice now. So you just focus on basketball, and you hear all the chatter between the players, all the chatter between the coaches and stuff like that. When it's a positive, when you hear your teammate cheer for you on the bench, I know it sounds so cliche, but it does help. Or they shouting out a play. You know, at a professional level, we know what plays and actions are coming. And if you hear that from your teammate, it gives you that extra, okay, this is what's coming. So it's kind of helping us in a way.
Is it also getting you guys in trouble how much you can hear each other? Like, I was hearing stories out of the NBA bubble, like, some of the younger players were kind of like, they were trying to like get themselves into it without fans. And so they were kind of like under their breath, like talking a little shit, like just trying to get themselves into it. And then other guys would hear them. Like, I'm thinking about Duncan Robinson. He was like talking shit to himself, and Chris Paul heard him, and Chris Paul like wanted to fight him. So are you guys like getting yourselves into trouble too, because you can hear all the shit talking now?
Yeah, that too. And normally people that you think are quiet are the most people that talk the most. And you're like
Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, Duncan Robinson is solid. Yeah, you can actually hear it, but it's like a bench player that, you know those bench players that get on the court for 2 or 3 minutes and they feel like they got something to prove. And it's like, well, you're going to go back, sit down in about 30 seconds, you know? So I don't think you need to talk like that. But I think it's fun. I think it's fun, to be honest. I think it's fun. I prefer it with the fans, but This is not a bad second option.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, obviously Newcastle's off to a hot start. You're in the, I think it's the BBL show, Group of Death, where you're with the, in the BBL Cup, where I think you're with the Riders, the Lions. Also, the Riders Raiders is really hard for new fans. I always want to say the other. We can talk about those, Brandon.
There's
later.
Not even that many teams. How are the names that close?
I know. It's okay. We're still trying to get to know the cities.
I'm not going to talk bad about the BBL. I love the BBL.
Yeah, the BBL has been amazing.
We love the BBL. This is no harm against the BBL.
We'll figure it's on us. It's on us, guys.
Yeah, it's on us.
We got to figure it out.
Blaming on the Dutch and the Duchess. I'm blaming you guys.
So why do you think the team has started off so strong, you know, even in preseason, now in the BBL Cup? What are some of the things coming out of this pandemic that you've been able to pull together as a team?
I think my answers will sound super, super scripted or super PC, but I think the way they recruited was very, very well. I think the way our management and our coaching staff recruited, because
the team fits. You can get
it just fits. And me and Ian had to talk about it yesterday. We passed each other in the hallway. Because we were talking about the game coming up against Leicester. I'm not going to go too much in detail with that. But we passed and we just fit. You know, it was four or five clips in the Leicester game where you just sit back and I watch it back. Like, well, that was really good basketball.
Yeah.
And it's no knock on the teams that I played with before. But it was a type of basketball that I never witnessed or I've never been a part of playing. And I think we just fit. The chemistry is good. And we run. You know, we run. We're fast. We try to get the ball up, of course. And one thing that I always stress to the team, the ball moves faster than any person can. Mm-hmm. So if we throw it, we look back chin to shoulder, then we can just flow right into our offense. Like if you watch us, yes, we're moving fast, but the ball is moving way faster than we are, you know? So I think that's the thing. We bought into the system. We bought into how we want to play. And we actually just like each other.
Yeah.
I would say love. We don't love
each other.
It's
so important.
We really, really like each other.
It's been so fun to watch, though, because we had DeAndre on, Liggins, we had Byron Mullins on to talk about the Basketball Champions League and how they're thrown together pretty fast. And it's pretty, you know, from a fan's perspective, it doesn't – like, their pieces, they're still trying to figure it out. And, you know, they have so much talent. But obviously on the court, they're trying to figure out what are the rotations. I think they played, eight or nine people in the first half. So they're just, you know, trying to find those rotations. We're watching your team, like – you fly down the court. Even Evan Maxwell is just horsing it down the court like a stallion. It just dunks it. He's good. And he hit two threes, horsing. He's a stallion, Skylar. And the team, like with Pfluger and Sayers, and, you know, it just seems like everyone is coming together. And you have playmakers like Cortez Edwards who can just come on if someone needs some help or you need some buckets. It's been really fun to watch.
Yeah. And one of the biggest confidence from a point guard standpoint is, you know, point guards are usually the small and fast people. When you see your 2, 3, 4, and especially your 5 get up the court before you, it's just like, oh man, I could just sit back and just do this with the team. I just steer the team this way, steer the team that way. And you see Evan just fly by me. Sometimes I'm like, well, I gotta give him the ball now. Turnover or not.
Reward the big
ball. You got to, you gotta reward the big. You know, the twos, they're used to running threes too. You got to reward the 4 and 5. And I love playing in the backcourt with Cortez as well.
Yeah,
I was really impressed with him last year. So
You're behind the back pass. I think it was to Justin Gordon where he threw it down. Mm-hmm. I yelled watching that live. And it barely – the camera, I think it's key motion or whatever you use, barely got there in time. I was like, don't let me miss this because the fast break. But, it was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I think that was a really fun game to be a part of. Any Leicester Newcastle game is going to be like that, you know. I'm not going to speak. It might not be like that Friday. I don't know. But usually history says that, you know, we really play really good games.
Yep.
You're talking about how well you guys all get along on the team. Mm-hmm. Can we get to know your team a little bit? Can we ask you some questions about your teammates?
How personal?
I'm not going to quiz you. I'm not going
to quiz
you.
Because I have to go to practice with them tomorrow, and I have to play with them the rest of the season. And being a captain, I have to be – I got to be tough, so –
okay.
All right. Don't compliment him too much. Tough love.
Yeah, I'm not complimenting anybody.
Well, that really throws a spin.
I'm kidding. Ask me anything. I'm open.
Funny as Blair was, who had the best style? Can't compliment any of them. Should we just be like,
go for it?
Bell's the worst. Who's gonna be late? We can't hype him up.
Yeah, ask those questions. No, I'm kidding. I'm open. Ask me whatever. I'm ready.
Okay. Who's the funniest player on the team?
Darius by far.
Yes, Skylar, your favorite.
By far.
That's my guy.
He would like to hear. He'd like to hear what somebody said. He's hilarious.
Skylar may or may not have referred to him as the thick king on our last podcast. So
I love a thick king.
D- Darius. We're big Kyle Lowry fans. Big Darius.
Ravon doesn't love that. He didn't like that. Didn't like
no, that you're giving much. Me. You guys are actually giving me nicknames for them.
The King, Sexy Rex. Sexy Rex. We'll just throw it on the pod. Sexy yeah. Rexy Rex Pfluger.
I got it all. I'm putting in all of my notes. I'm not going to call Rex that. I don't think I'm gonna call.
No,
him that.
Yeah.
But I'm.
I think even if you say Thick King, it's you're gonna get some weird looks.
Yeah, I'm not using your nicknames.
Not okay, in public. Who has,
okay.
Who has the best style on the team?
Me.
Honestly, I was wondering how long it was going to be until you just started saying you for all of that.
Well, we want to do BBL fits. We did it. We've done it with DeAndre Liggins because he's a big fit guy. I think they did. Someone, I think the Hooper's Voice may have done BBL fits, but I'm excited to see more style coming out of the clubs.
They do the shoes. I think the Hooper's Voice, they do the shoes too.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of into the shoes and the fits too, yeah. But it's kind of tough now because, you know.
I know, there's no runway anymore.
No fans. No runway. We don't have a red carpet or anything.
Yeah.
I'm also super interested in just Americans in England and what that kind of experience is. So is there anything you miss about America when you live in England? Like, I know personally, I stayed in London for like 7 months at one point, and I love ranch dressing. Like, I dip my pizza in it. Like, I dip everything. Like, I don't
just give her a bucket of
salad. I don't eat it on salad, but I'll dip basically everything else in it. And I really miss ranch dressing when I'm there. So is it maybe like, is it barbecue? Like, what is the one thing for you?
I think just food in general. Yeah. You know how many options we have back home? We have, and they're open 24 hours. And here, you know, they have some form of barbecue, some form of American diner cheeseburger type thing. Like, you know, I eat there every once in a while. I think it's the food is probably the biggest thing that I miss. You can't go to Chipotle. You can't go to Qdoba. You can't go to Noodles and Company. You don't have those
Mexican
options.
Food. That's another one, Skylar.
Mexican.
Yeah.
You're going to end up we getting recruited to go to the Lions just because they have Chipotle in London.
Yeah, and in Redding, they got a Chick-fil-A supposedly.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm hearing they're starting to put Taco Bells in London, and I'm very excited.
And they're supposed,
about that.
They're supposed to do an In-N-Out burger in London, too. They did a little trial run. Yeah.
The Queen of Hoops will like that one.
Yeah.
Big.
Yeah, but I won't join London just because of the food. I've been here.
Living in England.
Oh. Yeah. Go ahead, Skylar.
What's the opposite of that, though? What's your favorite part about living in England?
I think people are genuinely nice, to be honest. I think they're genuinely nice. And, you know, of course, us being Americans, when they hear our accent, they want to just talk more. They want us to talk more. So I think the biggest thing, they're just,
our accents don't sound awful over there?
No, their accents still sound awful to me. But yeah, they just like us. You know, they just like us. And I think my favorite part over here is that sports thing. Of course, sometimes I adopted soccer, of course. And basketball is starting to turn the corner a little bit, I think. Starting to turn the corner a little bit. There's still some work to do, but I feel it's probably the second most played sports by the kids coming up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Soccer is number one, of course, then it's basketball, which I don't know. I don't get why it's not more supported. It could be the next league under NBA if they got those resources, my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard that The Last Dance actually helped a big bump of interest in basketball in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Michael Jordan is the most popular athlete probably in the world.
Yep.
And I think it came at the perfect time. I was one of those people that pushed for The Last Dance to come out early because I needed something. I needed something. And I think they made the right decision for sure.
Yeah, well, we've talked
really
to –
It really kept us going.
It really did.
How long was it? 5 weeks in the pandemic?
Yeah, it did. Because I was watching old Michael Jordan games and old Allen Iverson games, and I didn't know if it was my eyes or the screen. I just couldn't stay – you know, a part of it is just like, this is not good basketball. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, oh, this is not good basketball. And you already know. You know, you already know what's going to happen. But I was so happy when the NBA came back as well.
Yeah. And I think you're right with the BBL and the UK in general. Like, it is the second most popular sport, I think, because they actually have it in school. You know, they teach it in school. So almost everyone can play. And we've talked to 777 partners who are the new investors or owners of the Lions. And their outlook is, you know what? The UK has an enormous sports market in general. tons of betting as betting becomes legalized across sports. It's an obsession as well in the States. And having the BBL be, you know, what is it? It's the top 20 league in the world, top 30.
Easily.
And it's with 66 million people in the UK. Like, it's got to start growing. And it's good to see more people getting involved in the sport.
It's just going to take one person. It's going to take one investor and one person that just go back it. And it's going to just take off, I believe.
Yeah, a TV deal. There's so many things that, like, there's so many things that will get the ball rolling and it'll just snowball.
And it's crazy that we're thinking that. I wonder what the people that's actually inside, like, what do you talk about?
Yeah. It's hard to, like, the short term versus long term, like the pandemic hitting right where there's the momentum, trying to get government funding. It's so hard. Like, I just tweeted this out yesterday, but it's like, do you have fans pay to watch games or do you have it free? And if it's free, if you're trying to get that TV deal, if you're trying to bring in bigger sponsors, they want to see the interest. But you also need short-term revenue because there's not fans. Right. So it's hard to balance the short and long-term decisions.
Because with the TV deal, like, of course, the TV deal, they want to see, you know, okay, this club actually is going to charge people to watch it. How many people actually paid for this?
That's true, too. You can show more interest
and,
that way.
And with the free, they're like, okay, well, we're just going to pay these clubs and we're going to play it. How many people are actually going to watch it for free as well? And then just do the balancing out. So it's one of those things, the nip and tuck thing. Do you actually charge or do you pay? Like, I saw that. I just don't know. Because we want people to watch it. What's more important is us getting the short revenue, the short term, or do we just want people to watch it?
Yeah.
You know? Well, with the pandemic, of course, you want to get paid.
Yep. Yeah. It's been tough, but I think the BBL has done a really nice job. Your teammate, Drew Lasker, is on the BBL show host. They have a great show. Drew's great on it. What's it like having a teammate actually on the BBL show?
I just watch what I say around him. That's it.
Yeah, he's the reporter.
I don't say too much. I don't give him too much gossip or anything like that. Just okay.
Gotcha. Don't bring this on the show.
Ask me questions. Now that he asked me questions, I'm like, all right, what's the motive behind it? Are you asking me for, is this Drew or is this Andrew Lasker, the BBL show? I don't know which one it is.
Listen, you can always come on the High Tea Hoops pod if you need to fire back at something he said on his pod.
Oh, really?
The platform is yours.
Official response.
So is it a little beef between you two?
Oh, no, we're supportive. Totally supportive. Don't you put a beef on us in the BBL show. We need an endorsement.
You guys asked me who the funniest person was, the best dressed. I just asked the question.
Very fair. So we've mentioned.
I'm proud of Drew, though. I'm proud of Drew. Drew's, I think that's it.
Yeah, we talked about on. We had Zoe Skaman on, who talked about branding for athletes, and he's doing a good transition. You know, building the brand.
He took off.
Yeah. You love to see it.
Because I remember it was probably my third year. No, the year that I came back from Slovakia, me and him got into podcasts at the same time, just listening to podcasts. You know, I gave him, like, it was a podcast called How I Built This, which I was really.
Oh, yeah, really that's a really good one.
I just love that podcast. And I gave it to him, and I was just like, man, that's so good. Like, I don't know how much I can actually, you know, interview somebody or anything like that. But when he did, I was like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Something. His branding is crazy. And he is consistent.
Yeah.
Consistent.
And it's high quality. Like, their production value is really good. So good on you, Drew.
First thing I see when I wake up is Drew Lasker's Instagram. And the last thing I see when I go to sleep is Drew Lasker with Train Harder. I told him that.
That's great to see. Skylar, do you want to throw some listener questions out?
Yeah. Let's finish on a listener question. I think we only have one. It comes from, I'm really sorry, I'm going to butcher your name, Fasika Zalilam. I hope I did okay on that. What can the UK do to promote the growth of basketball here?
Man, what a seamless transition.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like we discussed, you know, I think from the marketing aspect, that is going to be number one. How do we pull people in to compare it to soccer? Because to be honest, soccer is up here.
Yeah.
And how do we compare without being very, very identical? I think the marketing part of it, promoting it, putting it on billboards, putting it in commercials and things like that. Like that, what's the harm in that? Yeah, you got to come out and pay. But you got to pay something. You're going to have to pay something. So I think that's one of it, because people are always on their phones. People are always watching TVs on the iPads and stuff like that. If you put it on a little ad on YouTube, you know how annoying those YouTube ads can be in the middle of a video. Yeah. Things like that. Like that's from a small scale, you know. And of course, I mean, the usual folks of basketball, England, Diego, somebody can fund it and things like that. But I think from a small, from a micro standpoint, I think something like that.
Yeah. Get the club's team marketing. Yeah. And the production value is going up across the league from what I've seen.
Sure is.
Like, I don't know if anyone saw the Rocks photo shoot with the fog and the lights. I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, the Manchester Giants rebrand was really slick. Right. It's
like the guy that did the highlight video. Like,
yeah, that was good.
You know what I mean? Like, people like him, there's probably a ton of people like that. Give him an opportunity because it could be an internship or something like that. And then just get the ball rolling like that.
Yeah, well, that's what Zoe said. She's like, if you want to find someone who can help you create content, there's so many college, uni video editors, graphic designers that would happily do this for you. They're trying to build their portfolio.
Especially now.
Yeah,
especially in this pandemic, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Skylar, you wanna close us out here?
Yes, Roman, thank you so much for coming on. This has been so fun. We just want to know what words you have for the Newcastle Eagles fans for this upcoming season. What do you want to leave them with? What do you want them to know? You're off to a hot start.
2-0, yeah. We're 2-0 right now. And to be honest, the season is, it's picking up. I think every team is starting to pick up their identity. We're starting to learn about other teams. We're also starting to learn about ourselves as well. But if I was just to tell the Eagle fans, just be patient. No matter what happens, the season is roller coaster. Basketball is a game of runs.
Yep.
In the game. And the season is going to be a game of runs. We can go on a 10-game winning streak now and drop two. That's just how basketball works. So no matter what, be patient. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys back into the Eagles
yes.
nest for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, man. We appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of the season this coming
weekend.
Thank
you, guys. I really love what you guys are doing. And I'm going to post and share, as much as possible with this because I like this. I really, really like this.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
No problem. Thank you.